Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I don't know if you can tell, but I need a break.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I'm back from London.
You're back from London.
I'm back.
When did you get back?
I got back Monday, like right around noon, and it was amazing. This is actually the first trip I've ever taken where I traveled exactly how I wanted to travel. I walked 90 miles in 7 days.
Wow.
Like, just the London Underground, the subway, it's great. Their transport is great. But I didn't want to do that. My goal was never to get from A to B as fast as possible. It was to see the neighborhoods of London.
And you did.
That's what I did. I mean, I just walked everywhere, like absolutely everywhere I could possibly walk. There were a couple times that I did use the subway just because I did want to get somewhere. I had already walked somewhere. I was out of time, but I just walked everywhere. And I actually ran over Tower Bridge in London, which was amazing.
Did you really?
I did. Early in the morning when no one was out, and it was great. Although like when you were in New Orleans and it was cold and miserable because of that, mm-hmm. because they're not designed for that, it was like 80 degrees in London.
Oh, really?
Almost every day. I know that they don't get sun and that is a lovely thing for them, but they don't use air because they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so fucking hot.
Well, where did you stay?
I was split up. My first 3 nights I was in an Airbnb in kind of like Paddington/Little Venice.
Okay.
Which was great. A really, really great location. Little Venice is adorable. There's just all these little houseboats and it's awesome. And then I was in Bath.
Mm-hmm.
Bath. Which I'm gonna get back to that. For one night, because I went to see Ben Folds was playing there.
Oh, he was playing in Bath?
Yes.
Wow.
That was fantastic. I've never seen him, but I wanted to see him for a long time, and that was absolutely incredible. And I sat by this a gentleman named Peter who was maybe like in his 60s, and three of his kids, and they've been going as a group to see Ben Folds for like 15 or 20 years.
Wow.
Like his one daughter who I was talking to started going when she was 12, and they always see him together. So I was sitting next to this group of British people, like belting out his lyrics, hitting each other because he's playing this song and he did that line. It was like an interactive experience. it was great.
Were they British?
They were extreme. Well, yes, they were British. One of them was from Wales. And talk to me for a while about how if you're from Wales, it's very different than actually
very different.
Being from England.
Yeah.
But if you ask anyone who's from England, it's not any different being from Wales.
Right.
So that was a fun dynamic. That was amazing. And actually, that was my time there. I was there for just over 24 hours. Was the only time I ever encountered what I would call typical, based on my understanding, typical English weather. It was like overcast and rainy most of the time, and I don't remember the temperature, but it wasn't bad. It was actually kind of cooler. But the rest of the time was just hot. Just straight up, full-on sun hot.
Was it humid?
It was, because it would, maybe not every night, but most nights it rained, at least a little bit. So it was humid, and it's funny to me because, I mean, 80 degrees in Chicago is still warm. Like, that's summer weather.
Mm-hmm.
But in London, 80 degrees is like an excuse for public nudity.
Right.
Like, you know, like half the guys had shirts off. I would walk through parks in the middle of the city and it was looking out at the lawn was like you were at a beach. Mm-hmm. There were people in swimsuits and they were playing frisbee and it was just in the middle of a city, which you don't get in Chicago because there's beaches and we're accustomed to the heat. But it was such an odd dynamic. If you wanted to eat at a restaurant and sit outside, it was an hour wait. If you wanted to sit inside, you could just walk in.
So what did you do about food?
I just went all out, ate as much of and whatever I could possibly find. And it was amazing. I had fish and chips, which was fantastic. I had so many pastries, just tons of pastries and ice cream. And I have to say, the drinking culture over there is wonderful. Like, well, it was also a holiday weekend for them this past weekend. I don't know what the Monday holiday is, but
bank holiday.
A bank holiday, yes. Mm-hmm. And I was out for breakfast, like breakfast brunch at 10:30, and people were ordering their second round of pints for the table. Mm-hmm. And it was great. It was amazing. But I say that about, I wanted to come back to Bath or Bath, because it was during the concert that Ben Folds actually made a comment that was perfect, because being over there is really strange in the sense that for us, everyone has an accent. So when I say Bath, I feel like an idiot because that's not what it is. But when I say Bath, I feel like a pretentious asshole. And there's no way around it. Like there's no good approach. And I don't know, but it was great. It was just the walking in the neighborhoods and the people.
You just say Bath. You're just like, embrace the fact that that's your accent, Bath.
That was usually what I did, because I'm from the Midwest, which I'm sure was so charming for everyone over there.
Yes.
I was actually surprised, because I don't mumble. I speak relatively clearly, at the number of like servers and bartenders that needed me to repeat myself two or three times, because I talk pretty clearly.
Well,
and sometimes it was a word issue. Like if I had to ask for more flatware, they would ask me to repeat it. And then I would say cutlery and they were fine. So it was like just figuring those things out, but
we do chew our words.
Super friendly.
We chew our words. Yeah. If you listen to anybody, like if you listen to a French person or a British person speak with an American accent, they're usually like, it's usually a little exaggerated and it's really, really embarrassing because the exaggeration is kind of spot on. Like they would say Bath.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Like we chew the word up and garble it in our mouths.
That's really, I hadn't actually thought of that. And I think partially if you compare British and American English, it's just where the emphasis is too.
Mm-hmm.
And how you emphasize. I mean, it's like tomato, tomato sort of. It for someone from the United States, it just makes everybody sound really cool. Like every person talking sounds so cool. I would just sit and listen to conversations in cafes and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have, I walked, there's so many like school groups walking around. So many from France, actually. Which I know that you can get a train from Paris to London and it's only a couple hours, but it was still strange. But this group of, they must have been, I don't know, 8-year-old school kids out walking through downtown London singing. I followed them because it was awesome. I was like, I'm going to change my route because this is great. And it was totally like the teacher was trying her best to get them to be quiet. And the more she tried, the louder they would sing. And
were they all wonderful. In uniform?
They were all in uniform. Yes. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it was adorable. And it was the most diverse class I've probably ever seen ever, which was awesome. Totally awesome.
And
but
so,
the accents I can't get enough of. That was just
crazy. I know. You come back from a trip like that and you realize, whoa.
Oh yeah.
We are just super sophisticated over on this side of the pond.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. It's kind of embarrassing.
So 90 miles, did you traverse the entirety of London?
I traversed, I guess, what would be considered like the western and northern London, a little bit of east along the river, and then also Greenwich and Bath. Mm. So like Paddington, Chelsea, Little Venice, Notting Hill, Shoreditch, Clerkenwell. Oh God, I don't even know all of the other ones on the east side of the river, but just, I would kind of, it's not built on a grid pattern.
And no, that it's was, not. No.
That's why I walked so much, honestly, because I would put in on my phone a map of where to go. And just so I kind of knew, like, I need to go this direction and that direction. But I there's like an alleyway and a shortcut between every possible building in existence. So there's like 400 different ways to go. And because it's not on a grid pattern, I would remember on my phone that it said to turn right. But there's like 4 different degrees of right. And if you don't take the correct one, it takes you way off path.
It's almost as if they had like a toddler blindfolded and said, here's what the infinity symbol looks like. And I want you to draw 7 infinity signs blindfolded. Yes. And then we're gonna plan a city off of this doodle that you draw, 3-year-old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to perpetually have construction. So one side of the street is not accessible. And yeah, so it was really, really, really confusing in that sense, which I think accounted for a lot of the miles because I would go in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't have a schedule, I also didn't care.
Yeah.
So I would end up just somewhere at random and it was fine. You know, and I would stop in and get a drink somewhere or stop in and get a coffee somewhere or visit an antique map shop because that exists there. And it was awesome.
If you can travel like that and you enjoy traveling like that, I think everyone should attempt to take a trip like this in their lifetime just because of how rewarding it is. A lot of people asked me for recommendations. I mean, there are a couple of restaurants that I frequented in Paris, but most of the places that I got coffee or that I got meals at, I just stumbled upon because I was walking through the neighborhood and was hungry. And I would just walk into a cafe and eat. Or I'd walk into a cafe and order an espresso. And I marked those in a Google calendar, but none of them are, you know, like the 10 best restaurants in Paris. Like I went to like one of those on the recommendation of a friend. But otherwise, stumbling around a city and finding yourself in these new locations and these, you know, hideaways, for me, was the best 3-week journey. I would call it a journey for sure of my life. It was just spectacular to sit and talk with a local and, you know, you listen to their accent and you listen to their story and where they're from and what they're doing. And I don't know, there's something really beautiful about that.
Yeah. It just felt, I mean, our lives are so schedule and routine oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so usually then when I travel, it's, well, I'm going to go to this city and these are the 10 things I want to do. And this is the way that it makes the most sense to do them. And which is, it's fine. I've had a lot of fun doing that, but it was really interesting to just wake up, go outside and wander. I mean, for hours, I was gone from my Airbnb from like 8 in the morning until midnight.
Yeah.
Just had a backpack and I just wandered everywhere and talked to people. And a lot of people before I had left, and some people even in the UK had said that, you know, it's really different in America. Like you, when you order a coffee, they, you know, you ask them about their day and you have a conversation. We don't do that here. It's different.
Yeah.
That was totally not true.
I know.
I was like, I was ready to not talk. And then I realized by the third day that everyone was talking to me, like initiating it themselves.
Isn't that a surprise?
It was totally shocking. Everyone from bartenders to there were people in the train station that would talk. And it wasn't like, I know it wasn't just because I wasn't from there, because most of the conversations weren't, oh, you're American. It was just genuine conversations mm-hmm. about the day.
Yeah.
I was not ready for that at all.
I wasn't either.
It was great.
I wasn't either. I was not prepared for the hospitality and for an almost eagerness to connect. Like, I think that especially our generation and the generation, well, are you my generation? I don't know.
I don't know where that line is, honestly.
People, again, they would hear me try to speak French and they're like, no, I speak English. It's fine. And where do you need to go? And here's the best way. And here's the quick route. And here's a story about that route. And I was just so surprised at how friendly everybody was. When I think you approach the situation with a sense of calm and relaxation, and they feel like they can be the same with you.
Yes.
But like you said, like, since our lives are so structured, getting the chance to take a few days or several or a week or 2 weeks without that structure is, my God, it's so indulgent and wonderful and re-energizing for your life.
It makes me, I know it won't have the same effect, but it makes me realize that, you know, on a weekend where I don't have Lexton, if I can, to try and just clear a Saturday and not have a schedule and force myself to not be home.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like? I mean, I know the areas that I live. It's not like I would really be exploring, but just to force myself out of any sort of schedule or routine.
Right.
Because I guess the mental benefit of it was incredible. I slept in, I don't know, 4 or 5 mornings, like until 8. I have not slept in until 8 o'clock in probably 15 years.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was so disorienting, but it was amazing. And it was like, I didn't wake up feeling like I had lost part of the day or that I'd missed something, because I hadn't, because I had nothing scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And that was amazing. Weird though. God, that was weird. I have not woken up that late in so long. It was strange. I will say my only complaint, and it's a minor complaint, is, and Lexton is super pissed. His whole request was Big Ben. He wanted like a miniature working Big Ben and pictures of Big Ben. It's so covered in scaffolding.
Oh, really?
That it looks like a building. Like, aww. you from one side, you can peek at the clock face if you're high enough up. Otherwise, it's just like a brown blob. And so I didn't get to see it, which was kind of sad.
It was kind of sad, but did you get any residual royal wedding stuff going on?
There was so much. It was funny because as the week went on, you could see the interest fading. But there were tons of British flags. There was lots of merchandise left. They still had, certain restaurants still had like a special wedding menu or all of these different things. But as the week went on, you could see the flags, like the flag banners, kind of falling down, and no one was fixing them. And it gradually just got worse and worse as it went. But one of my friends who lives south of the city said, before I even went, she said, yeah, royal weddings are great for the mug industry.
I bet.
And I laughed. And then I got over there. I'm like, oh my God, their faces are on absolutely everything. Like everything. But everyone was really like positive about the wedding. Like, it was not a stale topic. It was just, I think, people prepared a bunch for it and then kind of let that preparation dwindle afterward.
Well, they immediately went straight to work. They didn't go on a honeymoon. She had royal duties to attend to. And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
And she's now like in princess training, right? Not princess, but
Duchess.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, Duchess training.
And personally, I thought it was a magnificent wedding. I woke up early to watch the thing.
I saw parts of it. I didn't see the whole thing, though.
Yeah, it was magnificent. It was just, she brought social justice. She brought a social justice mission to Britain. It was spectacular. And I cried. And he was smitten with her. And it was really obvious that he was smitten with her. And there was a black minister who delivered a sermon that was funny and warm and uplifting and so American. I kept laughing and gasping, like, is this really happening? Is this really happening? And then I was like, I can't hear the wedding over Princess Diana cackling in the afterlife.
Yeah, I heard that his sermon was like this, not in a bad way, but like British people don't know how to deal with that.
No,
like they're not used to that at all. Like super uncomfortable just because it's different.
Yeah, it was almost like delivering a black sermon in a Mormon church, where the Mormons would be like, "What is happening? What is this?" Like I saw a few people on Twitter were like, "Can he not get an amen? Can he not just get one amen? Somebody give him an amen." It's so true.
Oh man. Yeah, I think that is what that the royal family needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like just to be shaken up a bit, like to change it, to do it different, and to sell a hell of a lot of tea sets and coffee mugs and just about anything else you can put their face on, which was really absolutely everywhere. I don't think I went very many places without seeing some reference to the wedding.
I'm sure that when I'm there at the final week of July, I'm sure it'll still be there.
Oh yeah. And there'll probably be some places that are still like that, like it will be the year of the wedding.
Yeah. And one of the things that I'm really looking forward to, I don't know how late was it light there?
It was light, fairly late, I think. What caught me, and it wasn't until because my flight home was really early. I think it left at like 8 a.m. So I had to wake up at 4:30 to get the train and all that. And I woke up at 4:30 and thought I had slept in because it was so bright out at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But it was bright until actually really late, because I remember just being out walking and kind of losing track of time because of that.
Mm-hmm. So when I was there, by the time I left, it was the second or third week of December, and there was only 3 or 4 hours of daylight. Like you would get light at like 9:45, 10, and then the sun would go down at like 2:33. But when I first got there, for some reason, the science of it had not like registered with me. And I remember wandering around Hyde Park and not realizing that it was 10 o'clock at night and it was still sunny. That's what I'm really excited about, is to go spend a week there when the sun will be completely out until, you know, almost 11 o'clock at night. So,
oh yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, the sun was definitely very out.
Yeah.
I will tell you, it was out. But yeah, it was light a lot later. And so many people are out. And I think that was one thing. When I booked this, I didn't realize it was a holiday weekend, my last weekend there. So I got to see a long weekend in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up early, like I said, on Monday for my flight, but also on Sunday. And there was that Saturday? I think Saturday there was a really big soccer match between Liverpool and Madrid.
Oh, did you see that?
It wasn't there. Yeah, right. I mean, I heard that for a while, but I was up early Sunday and out. And I remember for probably the first half an hour thinking like, why are so many people dressed up like they're going out? I'm like, holy shit, these people haven't been home. Like they're still out in parks drinking in the morning because they had never actually stopped. Which they lost, so you know, deal with that.
Did you see the goal that Real Madrid scored? Did you see it?
I didn't. No.
I saw a tweet about it, and it said, "If you're gonna lose one of the most important games and the most important playoffs, you're gonna want to lose to this goal."
Oh really? Oh man.
Somebody passes the ball right to the middle, and I don't know that much about those teams, but this guy jumps up backwards, jumps up literally in the air backwards and kicks it backwards over his head and lands on his back, and it goes directly over the goalkeeper's head.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. If you're going to lose, like, yeah, you might as well lose in a way that people go, yeah, that was a good loss.
That was a goal. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I was out as people were trying to find pubs, like their pub of choice to watch the game, and it was interesting because I know everyone is really dedicated to their team, but most of the conversations I overheard were, it will be a miracle if we win. Like they were ready. It was just the sense that I got. But the fact that most of the pubs that I would walk by were so full that there were probably 20 people outside the pub drinking and looking through the windows, which I've never seen that. Like that, you don't do that for football here.
They take, you know, football over there very, 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 very seriously.
Oh, it was excellent. It was so excellent.
I went to a Chelsea game with a family over there. And I had never experienced anything comparable and haven't ever since.
Oh, really?
The sound that they make, man, is unending and so loud that he had earplugs for his six-year-old for that entire game.
Oh, damn.
Like in a stadium. But the sound never stops. It doesn't, they don't just cheer for a goal. There's this constant chanting and like cheering, and it's so deafening, and every seat is filled, and it was just like a regular game, you know.
Was it a good kind of like crazy experience
then? oh yeah it, for me, you know, I was such an Anglophile, and being able to experience that part of it was my mouth was just completely agape the whole time, like, what the hell is this? I can't believe this. And I was this innocent young Mormon, and everybody's drunk around me, and
Oh, yeah. Oh, the drinking culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The beer drinking culture. Yeah.
That was one thing that really hit me, is that you go into an average bar, and they've maybe got like six beers on tap, maybe six or eight. But every pub I went in there had at least like 12 mm-hmm. to 16, usually more. And that's all anyone orders. That and gin. So I was okay with that. The gin worked out. Not big on beer, but lots of gin.
Yeah. I stopped ordering martinis and just started ordering rosé and wine when I was in France. Because they were like, what? What am I doing?
Really? Well, I figured it out. I ordered, I don't remember where I was. And it wasn't even really like a pub. So I figured it was maybe okay. I ordered a Manhattan. Mm. And I asked for it. And the bartender, he kind of looked at me, and there was like this 4-second pause, and he's like, ugh. All right. I'm like, oh God, I totally ordered the wrong thing. Like, this is not the place for that. But yeah, wine was a good, I actually found a little, and well, not found, someone who listens to our podcast sent me one recommendation via Instagram for a little wine. I think it's like the oldest underground bar or something in the world, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Called Gordon's. And it was absolutely amazing. So this is a shout out to Jillian, because that was fantastic.
Oh.
And you go underground, and it's not like deep underground, but it's to the point where you go in, and to find a table, you have to, even if you're not tall, you have to kind of hunch over.
Oh yeah,
and
walk
through this little underground, and then you find it, and sitting is fine, but it's just these wooden tables with candles everywhere, and it's dark, and it's kind of damp, and it was amazing, and you can get cheese and wine, and it was great, and it's kind of off one of those million alleys that they have that you get lost down. Yeah, that was great, but it was really, really weird, because I went to two concerts there. For two North American artists.
Who else did you see?
I saw a singer-songwriter out of Toronto named Donovan Woods.
Yeah.
He's the reason that my most listened to genre on Spotify last year was folk pop. So, yeah. But I've seen him. This is the third time I've seen him. I love his songwriting. It's just fantastic. But being in a room with people singing his songs with an accent is really disorienting. Mm-hmm. Even he made a comment like, it's really strange. I've had people sing, but to hear you sing with an accent is really bizarre.
Where did you see him?
It was in London at a place called Borderline, I think. Mm. So not a big club. I don't know how many people were there. A couple hundred, but it was very small.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because, and he's told this story. I know I've heard him tell it one other time. But he had a song that made it to number 2 in Canada on the Canada charts a couple years ago, and he for quite a while, but never made it to number 1 because of Adele. Like, he could never could never get past Adele. And he's told this story. I mean, I've heard it. He's told it other times. And right after he finished saying that, this very, very, very British guy just screams out, "Fuck Adele." And Donovan Woods just lost it. He's like, "I've been telling this story for 2 years and it's in her home city." He's like, "Yeah, fucking Adele. That's right." And the crowd, I mean, everyone in there was, you know, and he backtracked. He's like, "She's an amazing woman. Beautiful voice. It's great. Could never beat her." It was just a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
Especially, I would like to see a British artist perform in the UK. I wonder if it's any different, but it was a clearly dedicated following.
Well, I saw a few shows when I was there, and I saw a band called Suede. I don't know if you...
Suede, no.
Suede. They actually had to change their name to the London Suede because somebody in America had the same name. But they had some popular songs back in the late 90s, early 90s, late 90s. And it was so packed. It was at the Roundhouse in Camden. And it was so packed that I lifted my feet up off the floor, and we were so tightly packed in there that I remained still. I didn't fall.
Oh, God. Oh, that's awesome.
I was by myself because nobody wanted to go with me because going to concerts was kind of sinful. But the crowd was just like so energetic and like wild, and it was amazing. It was good.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I didn't see them, but when I was over there, a friend of mine over there is a photographer and gets to shoot this band, but it's a Scottish band called Twilight Sad. Are you familiar?
Mm-mm.
They're almost, I don't know, someone described them to me and said, "If you like The National, you will like Twilight Sad." And I'm like, well, that works out because I do. But I don't know if musically, if that's the best comparison. They almost have some of their songs. I played some for Lexton, and he made the comment. He said, "Some of this sounds like The Tan Lines."
Oh.
So it's got kind of that vibe, but the lyric, and they've all got Scottish accents, which is awesome. I'll just listen to it all day for that. But it's worth checking out. And it even over there, it seemed to be every time they came up in conversation, it was either someone had never heard of them or they love them.
The Twilight Sad.
Yeah, I think it's just, I'm going to type it into Spotify. I think it's just Twilight Sad. I think there's no the. It is. Oh, no, it is. It's The Twilight Sad. And beyond the fact that they're Scottish, I don't know anything about how many members or how long they've been out, but I liked it.
Oh, good.
And that accent, I met a couple people who were from Scotland when I was there. Oh, man. So
have awesome. You seen Trainspotting yet?
I have, but it's been a really long time.
I mean, come on. Like, we're Scottish.
Yeah, right.
We're shite. Right.
Oh, I do need to rewatch that.
And that being my homeland, like, I am a Hamilton. I am from the Hamilton clan. My children are from the Armstrong clan. Like, my children are sort of inbred. Scottish.
Are sort of inbred. Oh, God. I have to watch that. I intentionally on the flight over watched, I watched Shaun of the Dead.
Did you really?
Because it's been years and it's such a good movie. That's gotta be my favorite zombie movie. Oh Jesus. It's so funny. It's very British, and it's an awesome zombie spoofish type movie. Oh man. So good. But it makes me want to go. Well, whenever I leave a place, I always want to go back. But then at the same time, I'd rather go somewhere else because I've already been. You know, you're kind of stuck. Like, I don't know. I'd like to go back and have more time to see other parts of the UK. Like, I'd love to go to Scotland. I'd love to go to Ireland. My great-grandfather's from Cornwall, England.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the absolute southernmost part of Cornwall, England, which was just not attainable for this trip. And I would like to explore more, get up to Manchester and, you know, but it was great. Oh, it was fantastic. And unimaginably expensive. Holy God. The exchange rate was part of it because everything was there like 35% more because of that. But it's also, if something in here in the States is $20, Over there, it's just 20 pounds. It's not like less because of the, they just charge the same amount. So I did not buy anything that I could buy here.
Yeah.
Like nothing. It was basically food and drink. And
will just drain your bank account. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Because after a few days, right at the beginning, I would kind of calculate and be like, okay, well, if this is 10, it's actually more like 13. But as the days went on, I stopped doing that. And now I see how that translated. And wow, I had some expensive drinks, some expensive meals that did not actually seem expensive at the time.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
That's like going to New York. It really is. You have to really watch it. You have to watch everything that you're like, oh my God, I just took a lift that cost me $20 to go 4 blocks. What?
Yeah, that was the only place I could compare it to was being in Manhattan.
Yeah.
In terms of cost. Yeah, it was, that was shocking.
I'm glad you got to do
that. Even their public transit, though.
Oh, the public transit.
It was expensive.
Yeah, but it's so worth it.
Oh God, yeah. Oh yeah. It was always worth it. The public transit was always worth it. I will also say that although they have a great drinking culture, no one readily brings you water.
No.
And as you told me, there's no ice. Like one time I got a glass of water that had 3 ice cubes in it. But otherwise there's no ice. But that's mostly troubling because I like to drink. For one, I like to drink a lot of water, but especially when I drink. But you don't really do that. You don't really get a drink and a glass of water.
No.
And I say that because I saw more piles of vomit on the sidewalk in London than I have ever seen in any one place in my life. Like it almost became routine.
Yeah, I think they're proud. I think they're proud of it.
Oh, there's vomit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, one of my friends, she's like, yeah, you don't ask. It's kind of a weakness to ask for water. It's like, that's why I like coming to the States, because they just give it to you automatically, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
But, or they charge you for it even. There were a lot of places that would bring water and then it was on the bill.
And getting them to bring you the bill, like,
oh God, mm-hmm. Which was great. I like not being rushed, but I'm also used to like, I'm from the Midwest, so everything has to be kind. So you just kind of imply like, no, I don't want anything else. I'm all set. And to them, that just means leave me the fuck alone for now. Whereas yeah. In my head, it's, can you bring me the check? I'm done. But it finally got to the point where I would just say, I'm finished. Please bring me the check. Because otherwise you're there forever. You're there the whole day.
Yeah. They don't care. They don't care. No. They don't care. They don't care. They know that you're there to relax and enjoy yourself. And they don't. Like, why would they interrupt you?
Right. I mean, and that's just it. It's your table. You have it. And I appreciated that. But there is, and I appreciated that when I was out for meals with people. But when it was just me, sometimes I realized, I'm like, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes with nothing on the table because they're not bringing me my check. And it just feels rude to, I don't know. I feel like I have to ask for the check and then apologize for asking. You know?
Yeah.
But even when they're busy, they didn't. they didn't bring you the check. Like, there was never a point where I felt rushed at all when I was out eating or drinking.
It's so,
and that was strange.
It's strange, but it also forces you to like relax, and your shoulders, like, yeah, you breathe into your shoulders and your whole body relaxes, and you're like, there is no rush. I don't have to get out of here. I don't have to go do homework.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was great.
While you were gone, I had one of the worst weeks of the year.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
We won't get into it. We wanted to make this episode short. This is the 100th episode of Manic Rambling Spiral, by the way.
It is. Oh, my God.
It's the 100th episode. Yeah. And while you were experiencing the indulgence that I got last year when I went to France, I had, God, a succession of like 7 really, really, really bad days. Bad days. I'm
like
okay.
One of those like perfect storm things, like everything that.
Yeah, it was everything.
Could have been shitty
happened. There were 4 dance performances and then dance practices and a lot, sort of all just came crashing down. And Lita and I hit a new low.
Just when you think the bar can't get any lower.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. And wow. So, but, you know, I got some sleep over the weekend because of the holiday. It was really rough on the kids too. And so Lita didn't leave the house. We went to dinner someplace on Sunday night. Lita didn't leave the house from Friday to Sunday night. And then she slept until 1 o'clock yesterday on Memorial Day.
Holy shit.
She woke up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was sitting on the couch having cleaned the kitchen and made breakfast for Marlo, and she comes stumbling out of her room and her hair is like 5 feet off the top of her head, and she's like, is it really that time? And I was like, yep. Did you just wake up? She's like, yeah.
Oh, man. Was she super disoriented?
Super disoriented.
Oh, God.
But that's, you know, she's growing, and it was a really intense week for her. And I would say that my last nerve was exposed and her last nerve was exposed. And then those last nerves sort of got entwined in the middle of the week. So we're okay now. But again, I got a lot of sleep over the weekend, and I was at the gym this morning and I looked at my face in the mirror and I was like, I look like I've got a facelift.
Oh, God.
I mean, I have slept like 8 hours for the last 3 nights. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, my God, like, did I get a facial? What happened? Like, even my trainer was like, you look amazing. And I was like, I feel amazing.
Just sleeping like a normal human.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to not have kids.
I know.
That's what I mean. Like, when I slept in until 8, it was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
How is that even possible?
Yeah.
And without having like the rush of the day too, you can wake up.
And don't you feel this? And I said this when I came home last summer. When I came home, I realized, oh my God, I don't give myself enough credit. What I do on a day-to-day basis, I don't give myself enough credit. Like, the being alone and only being responsible for your own needs is so fucking simple when you realize just how complicated it is to make sure that the person you're taking care of has their needs taken care of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was as simple as, like, I would wake up and then I'd walk and maybe I'd have a coffee, but nothing to eat. And then I'd realize around 10:30 or 11, oh, I should get food. So I'd eat something, and then like 9 hours later, oh, yeah, I should probably eat again, because I didn't have to think like, well, I need breakfast and then I need lunch and then I need dinner. I was just doing, it was totally organic.
Yeah.
And it was just, yeah, it was really bizarre to only have like my own life to care about. Which is also not entirely true, because it is also never ending, because I was there in a park drinking gin and tonic out of a can. And honestly, for all of the UK-based listeners, you guys are fucking awesome for putting gin and tonic in a can. Really convenient. Sitting in a park, sun is out, people are there, it's awesome. And then I start getting texts because because Lexton mows lawns. That's a job that he does in the summer. And he makes ridiculous money for a 14-year-old mowing lawns. But it's always been a rule that I've set out that if you're going to mow lawns, you have to have a pair of shoes dedicated to mowing lawns because you're just going to ruin your shoes. So I start getting text messages on Saturday from Heather that he doesn't fit in his other shoes that he was going to use to mow. And there's no like solution in these texts. It's just sort of an informative. It's one of those statements that ends in a question mark. Like, he doesn't have shoes that fit, question mark? Like, what the... I can't ship him shoes. So
I can't actually, help you over here from like, this park in England.
I can't do anything. And this conversation went back and forth in text for like 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
And then finally... And it was even more infuriating, and I'm sorry, but that's the best word, that it kind of ended with a, okay, well, I'll figure it out. Like, so you... Did you just want to tell me that this was an issue just so I knew it was an issue? Like, it accomplished nothing at all. But it was a reminder that, like, it's never...
Yeah.
You can never fully shut down. You're kind of in, like, sleep mode because you have to be ready to turn back on immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm all about staying reachable. Like, if there was an emergency, it's fine that I'm contacted, but... Shoes,
mm-hmm.
of all things. Like, I'm sitting in a park drinking. You can buy some shoes.
It was like yesterday, it was Memorial Day, and I spent the whole day catching up on some organizing that I needed to get done. And I am trying to clean out my medicine cabinet, which is just, I don't even know who's living in there. It's a disaster, just overflowing. I can't shut the door on the medicine cabinet. But I'm pulling stuff out and I'm like, but what if she gets a cold tonight? I can't throw this away. what if she needs the allergy pill tomorrow? I can't throw that one away. Like, I've got it's a constant disaster preparedness that has to go on. Even when you're traveling, even when you're halfway around the world, there's that possibility that you're gonna have to hop into action.
Oh yeah. Well, I had given, he stayed, I think he was with his grandparents the whole time, actually. I don't think he was with Heather, but I gave them an envelope with like all of his medical cards, a copy of my passport, like everything he needed throughout the week, all of this stuff written down. I took with me a copy of my passport, a copy of his medical card. Like, it was, I feel like I had that kit with me in my backpack at all times. So if something bad happened, I could have literally just gone to Heathrow and came home.
Yeah.
And it's like, it didn't prevent me from relaxing, but the fact that you have to do that before you go is just weird. Like, you're always ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you had thrown away the cold medication, she would have needed
it. Yes.
But now that you didn't, she's okay.
She's fine.
That's how that works. And that's why we're like that, because the one time we don't follow that gut instinct, we get burned. Like, you throw it away, and then she has a cold and a fever and allergies all at once.
All at once. And it was expired.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
I should have thrown it away. It was expired. But I was like, but I'm not going to be able to get to the grocery store tonight. And what happens in the middle of the night?
Yeah, then you give her two because it's expired, so it's fine. You know? So do you still have it?
Or yes, I do.
Okay. Ah, there we go.
It's basically like some expired Pepto, some expired Dimetapp, and some expired Benadryl. I'll get new of that. I'll get some new stuff, but just in case, just for the next 2 days.
Yeah. Well, what always happens to me though is I'll pop open the medicine cabinet and look and go, oh, I have Benadryl. I'm good. So I don't buy it, and then I realize 2 weeks later, oh, that's right, it's expired. But I still don't throw it away. Uh-huh. So then the next time I look, I just assume I have some.
Yeah.
And it perpetuates this ridiculous cycle. But it means you're always ready, expired or not.
Yeah, always ready.
And now definitely ready. Like, I came home, I got back to my house, showered, picked up Lexton, grocery shopped, loads of laundry. Like, it was...
Right, so back into
it. A friend of mine
it.
Texted this morning, yeah, and said, well, how are you recovering? I'm like, oh, there's no recovery. Like, it's like I never left. Everything is just chugging along.
Yep. It's what we do. It's what we do.
Re-entry, right? That's what it is.
It's called the re-entry. The bumpy re-entry is what I like to call it.
And our kids are almost done with school.
Yeah, almost.
Right.
Another week from tomorrow. Yeah. Another.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a week from today.
Which, so. By the way, I know we were supposed to make this episode short. What are they doing? What are they doing now from now until the end of school? All the tests are done. There's no more work to do. Why are they continuing to go to school right now? I don't get it.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I asked Lexton, I'm like, what is this week, this 4-day week? Because then there's only 2 days next week. He said, honestly, nothing really. We just watch movies. And I was like, all right, well, that is ridiculous, but I suppose that's what it is. Then we get an email from the principal, like sent to everyone at the school. And the second sentence in the email is, there are no movies shown this week. It is all academic and testing. And when he woke up this morning, I'm like, yeah, where did you get your information? Oh, I don't know. I just kind of guessed. Like, oh, good. So you're clearly not prepared for the tests or anything else. And at this point, I, you know what? It is what it is.
Yep. You can't do anything at this point. You got to throw up your hands and be like, I'm sitting in a park in England. Can't do anything.
That's right. Good luck. But there is that degree. I know that even though that was in the email, I know there's going to be classes that just show movies or they hang out. And I don't know. I know they have to fill the legal day requirements, but I would rather them maybe slow down and teach all the way up to like the second to last day.
Yeah.
Which I know kids can't. I know there's focus and they're really ready for summer, but having them sit in a school for 8 hours a day to watch whatever, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
But it buys us some time.
It buys us some time. It does. But they get home and they're bored. And Marlo gets bored when she gets home because she hasn't done anything productive during the day. So I don't know if you can tell, but I need a break.
You're ready.
I am.
Your break is coming up like a month.
Well, actually, their father will be here next week.
Okay.
He is coming. Lita has a thing called promotion where they basically like hold a ceremony.
Graduation,
and they promote the eighth graders. And then Marlo has an annual carnival that he wants to go to. And he offered to take them a couple of nights, which will be amazing. A couple of nights in the middle of the week? What am I going to do?
Grocery shop without stress,
exactly.
Sleep. It's all that really exciting shit.
I don't know. It's just like, oh my God, I really do feel like Christmas next week. Christmas. I get two nights off. It's amazing.
And honestly, like, there was a point in my life where I would rather have like a Friday or a Monday off, but middle of the week.
I'll take it.
Actually sounds pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I mean, oh man. And you, it sounds like you will need it after last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really good to watch. Last week was so crazy. We didn't, like, she wasn't getting home until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
Oh God.
Yeah. Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started. So we didn't watch Gilmore Girls. We didn't resume watching it until last night. And we are on season 6.
You're there.
We've established that we don't care that we're spoiling anything, right?
I
won't spoil this. I'll just say that Rory.
Well, maybe we say spoiler alert.
Spoiler
so
alert.
If you actually haven't seen season 6.
This is not that much of a spoiler. This is not that much of a spoiler. Season 6, Lorelai and Rory are not getting along right now.
Right.
And
yeah, that's not really a spoiler. That does happen periodically.
Yeah, I'll just put it as vaguely as that. And it was really good to see because they've been best friends for so long. Like, to have gone through last week, Lita and I came out the other side. We did. But again, I'm dealing with an attitude that I would never have given my own parents. And so her giving me the attitude that she's giving me is just, it feels like someone has taken a cannonball and shot me up against a wall.
Right.
But to see the dynamic between Rory and Lorelai, you know, they're going through their ups and downs too, was I know it's a show and I know it's made up characters, whatever. I took some comfort in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it tells you if someone wrote it that way.
Yeah.
It's because someone gets it. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a fictional show, but still.
Yeah.
And I guess it makes you wonder if part of her saw that and was like, okay. You know, like it resonated with her in a different way.
Yeah.
Season 6, though, do you like it?
I'm only on the second episode. Okay. I thought it was season 7 that was bad.
Oh, so yeah, it is season 7. That's, well, I think it's the last half. Because I remember starting to get a little dissatisfied before the last season. So,
okay.
I have a feeling if we share that in common, I think it'll happen at the end of this season.
Okay.
But yeah, season 7. Yeah, not good. Not good.
Looking forward to that then.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And then you have to get through it because you're already there. So you
really, well, and I want to watch through. I want to watch the Netflix reunion special, that whole thing. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But we're not going to get to the 7th season until she gets back from New York at the end of the summer.
Oh, that's because they're long, right? They're like 22
episodes. Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. And if you're just at the start of 6, will you finish? Because she doesn't go to New York until the end of June, beginning of July?
End of June. So we're going to barely make it.
Yeah, you might just finish it up.
Yeah.
Which actually, even if you didn't, if you left a couple, that might be beneficial rather than trying to remember, like...
I will say that last night's episode, I had to stop it twice and go, I really don't want to see this character ever again. I want this character off the show. Make this character go away.
You have to say who it is now.
We've already said sister and his sister's husband. Luke's sister and his sister's husband.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I was... Yeah. This episode is going long. Welcome to episode 100 of the Manic Rambling Spiral. I don't like to watch Ben Stiller movies where everything goes wrong. Like, I have a really, really, really hard time sitting through those movies where,
like, they just bother you or it makes you anxious.
It makes me anxious. It bothers me. Like, you know that nothing is going to go right. So what's the point of watching somebody get beat over the head again and again and again and again?
Right.
It bugs the shit out of me. I can't. Ugh. And this character, Luke's sister's husband, I was just like, I can't do this. I can't sit here and watch this happen. I can't do it.
But he's not even like, he's weird. Like Ben, I know what you mean about the Ben Stiller movies, but her husband is an idiot. Like he's just dumb. Like I feel like in the Ben Stiller movies, he's maybe not dumb, but all this terrible stuff happens. But her husband is just, he's just kind of an idiot.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it any more enjoyable to watch when...
Oh, no. I find it less enjoyable because he's just... I just don't even like him. Like, Ben Stiller, you can like the character, but maybe not what's happening. But with him, I don't even like him.
Mm-hmm.
I never really understood what he actually added to the show.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with it. I would love to hear everybody else's opinion about this. He's watching Gilmore Girls. What they think about Luke's sister. I can't stand his sister either. His sister is just like on my last nerve. And the character is. And then, I don't know. I'm just having a really hard time with it.
There will be opinions. I think, did we talk about the Avengers and the Gilmore? I know we talked about that connection, but did we ever say, we got two emails almost back to back from people.
He's in the
who
Avengers.
Were Gilmore fans. What's that?
He's in the Avengers, right?
Well, Kirk is, yeah.
Yeah, his brother directs him.
Yeah, but I didn't make that. And I knew both of their names. I just never put that connection. But after that episode where we talked about that came out, two people almost back to back emailed and said, like, here's some Gilmore trivia for you. They're brothers. And I had never...
Yeah.
I never put that connection together. So I have a feeling we'll get some opinionated
emails. Love Kirk, though. I love Kirk.
Oh, Kirk is great.
Yeah.
He did bother me early on, though, I will admit.
For sure.
I found him just a little bit obnoxious, but then he kind of grows on you, which I think is the point, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's everyone's relationship with him who's in the show. Like, all the characters. Like, don't really want to like you, but we have to because you're actually pretty great. So not entirely sure how we went from London to Gilmore, but
we can do that. We're pretty good at getting back to Gilmore.
Here we are on our short episode, which is actually full length.
100, like that. 100 episodes. We're 100 years old.
That's crazy. And it's just over 2 years, right?
Yeah, over 2 years.
It's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad for spiraling out of control.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if you're out there listening to this and you think that is actually bad and you wish we had stopped around maybe episode like 10.
Two.
two, yeah, maybe. Really, like 5 minutes in.
They're like, this episode is very ominous. Let's stop right here.
But as always, we would love to hear from you, whether it's London or Gilmore or any number of things. So you can find us on social media, which would be Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings. Or you can email us to stories@manicramblings.com. And of course, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/manicramblings, I think. I think that's where we...
It is.
I always forget that one. Yeah, okay.
And until next time, if you have vomited on the streets of London, we would love to hear about it. Love to, if you have a photo you'd like to share, even like,
oh yeah,
we're not too prim and proper here.
No, we'll take it.
Go for it.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.